Hi, everybody. Michael Thiessen here with Liberty Coalition Canada. I get the privilege this week to have already introduced and interviewed Crystal Pitter as a nurse practitioner. And now today, same day, I get to interview Dr. Mark Trozzi. Dr. Mark, thanks so much for being with us today. And we're going to talk about a number of important issues, and your voice is important. So thank you for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Thanks for everything you're doing.
So just as we were getting to know each other earlier, we were talking about some of the things that you've been working on. And I'm really interested, Dr. Trozzi, if you would share with our listeners some of your previous work on speaking out or speaking up on this issue. Feel free to start where you want, but you did mention a video that I'm curious about. So why don't you go ahead and share?
Okay, sure. So we created a website months ago, just called drtrozzi.com, drtrozzi.com, and really created that as a platform to share honest research, honest experience on the subject, because there is so much disinformation, and it seems to be sadly state-sanctioned disinformation. On there, we've some of the main issues we've gone into. We've explained how, unless people accept changing the definition of words, we've explained how these injections, these experimental injections, are not vaccines. We've explained how the PCR tests work and how it can be easily manipulated and really how invalid it is. We've discussed hydroxychloroquine. Most recently, we released a video discussing, as well as a detailed article, which I'd love people to use both for the information as well for the legal front, the suppressed medication ivermectin, which is a real godsend for COVID. The video we were discussing, we've made a video discussing vitamin D, and fairly recently, about a month ago, released a video which I think is very relevant to our conversation, Michael, which is called Doctors, Nurses, Ethics, and Law, because there's some ethical issues here with what's going on in terms of, I mean, just the golden rule. I mean, one should do unto others as they wish to have done unto themselves. And that is certainly what myself and my small team are trying to do. Also, the Hippocratic Oath, which orders us as physicians to, first, to do no harm. So giving people dangerous experimental injections for a disease which really we probably already have herd immunity to, but even in the absence of it, a disease whose the average age of death from the disease is the average age of death from old age. And where even if you look at the cross population mortality of this disease, it appears less than 0.2%. So first, doing no harm would not involve giving people a dangerous experimental injection with unknown effects. And injections that we know already in the United States in 4 months has killed more people than all vaccines together killed in the last 17 years. So to say it's not dangerous is absolutely insane and corrupt. And then the other thing we discuss in quite a bit of detail in the article and in that video is the Nuremberg Code. And as we know, the Nazi regime in the Second World War performed horrific acts on people, which included what they considered medical experiments, which were completely unethical. And following the Second World War, international bodies came together to prevent that from happening in the future. And the Nuremberg Code was created. It was later basically ratified by the World Doctors Association. And it is the law on this planet for medical experimentation. And it is a collection of laws that are being completely ignored by the criminals who are running this COVID enterprise. So these injections, along with a lot of elements of this whole thing, I mean, the lockdowns, the masks, the social distancing, I mean, it's all an experiment, but clearly by the admission of the manufacturers themselves, these injections, these experimental injections, delivering genetic material from viruses into people's body by either hiding them in a strange membrane that some of us are still trying to figure out exactly what it is, or by hiding it inside viruses that infect our cells and deliver the virus's genetic material to our cells. These are clearly experimental. And there's no debating that. I mean, people are trying to silence voices like ours saying this, but if you go to the emergency use authorization briefings, which were the applications for emergency use authorization in the United States, and if you look at the letters of authorization from the FDA, it is quite clear. These are experiments. These are not treatments. They have not been approved for any indication. They have been approved, given emergency use authorization based on this fake premise of a global emergency. And so as medical experiments, and to further the fact that that is true, they are trials. The Pfizer and Moderna trials going on in Canada right now, they are trials that end late in 2022 and late in 2023, perhaps. So the first rule...
Sorry, Dr. Mark, can you just elaborate on that? When you say the trials, I think in my mind that the people who are currently being vaccinated are a part of a study.
Yes.
Not a recipient of a drug that has been studied.
Exactly. I mean, there's been some studies, but these are clinical trials. These are experiments. Everyone going and getting one of these injections is a subject in a medical experiment. And they're a subject in a criminal medical experiment because it violates the Nuremberg Code, which means this is a crime against humanity. And there are lawyers in the global team working on this who are actually bringing this to the International Criminal Court. Right.
That's profound because I'm a pastor who's concerned for my local flock. I'm concerned for all of the measures that have been happening just as far as looking and seeing with my own eyes. But I don't come to this conversation as a medical expert. I do come to this conversation with experience in our healthcare system. And I do know that, you know, my son, who is a cancer survivor, is a part of a longitudinal study. And there's a lot of controls and checks, and we have to give authorization for anything that happens to him. And there's lots of disclosures and things like that. I was saying to some intelligent individuals the other day, aren't you concerned that this is a rush to market product at very least? Like, aren't you concerned, you know, if someone were to say, I've got a new car, we haven't done all of the testing on it, it's super expensive, and by the way, every Canadian has to drive it whether they want to or not, I'd be sitting back going, wait a minute, I'm concerned. But I'm getting responses from intelligent people who would seem to know better that, in fact, no, these drugs aren't a rush to market. And you're telling me that not only are they not a rush to market, but they're a rush to market violating some of the principles to get to market.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're an experiment. This is a clinical trial. It is not a fully approved treatment. As a clinical trial, as an experiment, it must comply with the Nuremberg Code, and it does not. People are not being told. If, for instance, the first element of the Nuremberg Code is that the subjects of the experiment must give clear consent to being in an experiment. So I would ask our friends and viewers, how many of you, I hope you haven't taken these experiments, but how many people who are going and getting an injection are being told you are being entered in a medical experiment? This is an experiment. Clearly, do you consent to being part of this experiment? I do not know of anyone who's been told that. which means that every person involved in delivering that injection, whether they be knowingly or unknowingly, have committed a crime against humanity. I mean, this is a major crime. This isn't like not wearing a mask in a grocery store or running a stop sign. This is a major crime. These laws were created to stop the most horrific things in the last century done in the name of medical experiments.
That is so helpful to understand the situation. I'm so thankful for you contextualizing that. Where is it that you practice medicine? I didn't ask you that at the beginning. So I'm in Alliston and I'm just north of Toronto. Where is it that you live and practice?
Well, I've stopped practicing medicine a couple of months ago because I won't participate in this.
Right.
So, and also to take the muzzle off so that I can behave like a free citizen and a responsible doctor and make my best analysis of things and tell people the truth as I understand it, which is what the Hippocratic Oath demands, is that we use our best judgment and
right.
not that we parrot whatever's handed down by the regime of the time, be it Dr. Tam or be it Adolf Hitler.
Right. And so you're obviously a Canadian. Where do you live and breathe normally? So
I'm a Canadian. I've been based in Bancroft for about the last decade. I've had a very nice career, 25 years plus. I've been doing almost entirely emergency medicine from Windsor. I spent many years in Leamington, as I said, many years in Bancroft. And I was on the front line from pretty much the beginning of this phenomena, right through till essentially the end of 2020. I continued some clinical work into about February. And at that point, it was clear to me that as much as I like suturing wounds and delivering babies, and I could not anticipate that hospitals that I was working in were going to go contrary to the mandates that the communist Dr. Tedros and the World Health Organization have been dishing down through compliant governments, of which Canada is one of the most or worst governments for complying with this stuff. So I wanted to do as much as I could to not burn my bridges, and also to put my energy into this front. So I resigned all my practicing privileges at multiple hospitals and stepped into the role of trying to be a truth teller.
Wow, that that's admirable, Mark. I thank you for that. In talking with Crystal just recently, it's a major cost to count in order to step into this role. So I just want to say thank you. I have a bit of a similar journey in the pastoral world where I had to resign from a position in order to stand up for freedom of conscience in the way that I feel compelled to do so. And so I applaud you and I thank you for standing in this. And you counted the cost far more than me, because I can still pastor at my local church. I can still teach the Bible and I can still love the people in my local church. And you've been you've had to say goodbye to much of it. Thank you for your contribution to the cause and speaking up. You've used some pretty strong language when it comes to communism, Nazism. You and I seem to be a bit in the same camp when it comes to understanding our Second World War history and Cold War tactics. What's the next step for you as you step into this role of trying to be a truth teller? As you're seeing, and as I am seeing, like you said, such a uniformity, particularly within Canada, like the US is wide open in many respects, and we are the most conforming to all of these measures. What do you see your next steps are, Dr. Trozzi?
Well, to a large extent, maintaining the role that I've been trying to fill for these months already, which is I do not hastily put up videos on our website. I really give a lot of thorough investigation and thought so that by the time I write something or I publish a 10-minute video, I'm trying to save people months of research. I reference things, I link things. For instance, our most recent video on ivermectin called Ivermectin Works, there's extensive links. I mean, it's essentially a scientific paper written so that everybody can read it. So that's part of my role. I'm also in communication with doctors, scientists, and lawyers, both across Canada and internationally. And as a physician, which makes me somewhat of a scientist as well, a big part of my role is to help them to decipher and to provide the information for the legal actions against the criminals running this thing.
So what was that address again, if people are interested in going and looking at your work more thoroughly?
Sure. It's drtrozzi.com. So just drtrozzi.com.
A good Italian name, I presume.
Well, there's quite a mixture there. So my father's grandparents were from Italy. And my mother's parents were from Ireland, so I'm kind of a third to fourth generation Canadian with Italian and Irish roots, and also actually quite an attachment to a lot of our native culture of Canada and sort of philosophy that I find quite consistent with.
I was going to say I would pay to be a part of a dinner with Irish and Italian in-laws and outlaws. Like that would be, man, I'm thinking of the Godfather meets like the British Bulldog. But that's, I understand that that's an abomination just to refer to the Irish as the British, but it was the only thing that came out of my mind. So you talked about next steps for you and kind of working with these different organizations. Why don't you tell me about the organization that has put together the Declaration of Canadian Physicians for Science and Truth. This is something that I became aware of earlier in the week. And I know that you told me earlier that you're a signatory on this. Why don't you walk me through a little bit of this declaration? This is found at canadianphysicians.org. Can you share with me some information about this?
Yeah, sure. Not much more than other people can get specifically on it by going there. I didn't write the declaration. I was thoroughly happy to be made aware of it. And of course, I was very happy to sign it. And as I understand, actually, I checked it in the first few days. I think it's had 5,000 signatures and already has more than 200 Canadian physicians. And I don't think people even know about this yet. I mean, this is still kind of just news. But as you're probably aware of, April 30th, the College of Physicians and Surgeons published quite a strong statement demanding basically that physicians speak and do what they're told by essentially the government, and that doing anything else would be investigated and punished. And unfortunately, this goes against, well, a lot of ethics, but it goes against the Hippocratic Oath, because the Hippocratic Oath, as well as just even if you don't read the oath, like who does your doctor work for? You. A doctor should work for his patients. So a doctor's job is not to tell you what he's been told to tell you, not to program you to believe what he's been told to program you. A doctor is actually supposed to be educated in medicine. A doctor's supposed to do his own research. Doctors are supposed to be involved in vigorous debates. And I mean, we have debates even about things that are very fundamental, like, for instance, fluid replacement in trauma patients. I mean, because, you know, we're in many ways in medicine, we're sort of children playing with God's toys. So it's very hard to find, you know, super absolutes. This is absolutely what must be done. And in the current situation, there is so many holes to debate what's going on. So the responsibility of a physician is to be honest with his patient and to administer both the treatments and advice that in his or her judgment, I think people should read the Hippocratic Oath or look at the article we have up about it, in his or her judgment is in the best interest of the patient. I cannot defer that responsibility to a government or to a licensing body. Like, my oath is not to the College of Physicians and Surgeons. I have no pre-existing grudge with the College of Physicians and Surgeons. I do not wish to have any conflict with anyone. I really feel for everyone who's involved in this thing and hopefully is waking up more and more and going, oh my God, I'm an accomplice to pretty criminal stuff going on here.
Well, you were in the middle of a thought that was really profound, where you were saying, I'm not bound to the College of Physicians and Surgeons. It's interesting. You used a word there about college playing with God's creative toys. Like, we're created in God's image. We are created with design. Certainly as a Christian pastor, I certainly believe that I can empathize with your limitations, because doctors and nurses are just human beings trying to help out. But something that you said that was really important there was that your oath is not to the college. Can you finish that thought? I think you were about to say your oath is to your patient.
Sure.
Who is your
100%,
oath to?
The oath is, to the patient. 100%. The oath is to the patient. And I think sometimes we lose some insight into this in Canada, because people pay enormous taxes. I believe our federal budget is at least 50% healthcare. And as doctors, we administer healthcare and we bill the government, we get paid from the government. And it sometimes creates the false impression that we're working for the government. We're not. The government is supposed to be serving the people in helping administrate the system of us taking care of the people. And the people are the ones paying for the healthcare.
Okay, so I have two questions I want to ask as a follow-up to that, because this is such a foundational line of thinking that I want to stay on. So number one, if a doctor is supposed to be accountable to the patient, within the Hippocratic Oath, is there not a warning or a declaration that the doctor will not attempt to play God?
I think essentially, I mean, I think that's somewhat wrapped up in the one of the most founding statements, which is first do no harm. So if nothing else, I shouldn't hurt you. So I shouldn't be reckless. In other words, right. If patients come to you, doctors are supposed to be people who take their time and think things through and really ponder it, because I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. So first don't hurt. And I think that certainly relates to the idea of not playing God, you know, and it also, the Hippocratic says to do no harm. You know, I'm only supposed to administer things that help people and give it some very serious, careful thought.
Well, and I think on the other side of that, where I was getting with that thought is, and if I'm not sure, but I'm experimenting and you want to agree to join with me and try, we're good to go.
Exactly.
But either way, I can't withhold information from you. I can't deceive you for my own ends. I can't do anything where I have stepped into your decision-making and said, I've made the decision for you, because I haven't given you the most appropriate information.
Certainly.
Okay. So then sorry, go ahead. I want to cut you off.
I was going to say, you know, a very common quote I hear from people who have talked with their neighbor or their friend who's a physician, is their physician saying, well, yeah, this isn't right, but I can't say that. You know, I have to go along with this, but, and I'm sorry, but I mean, I'm not looking to take risks. I was quite content with my life, but there are higher laws in this world than the mandates of public health. There are higher laws in this world than licensing bodies, you know, and those higher laws, I mean, I often go to the golden rule. I mean, that appears to be accepted by many, almost any reasonable religious or philosophical system accepts that I should do unto you as I would wish to have done unto me. And well, by no means.
Yeah. And it's interesting because that the golden rule is a summary of the last six commands of the 10 commandments. When Jesus was giving that, he was summarizing loving God and then loving your neighbor. And that is a summary of the love of your neighbor, which is not to murder, not to lie, not to covet, not to steal, not to, as a pastor, I should be able to get all six right off the top of my head, but we're going through it. And those are tangible things like you're talking about, like when you're not playing God and you're doing no harm there, I'm not going to do anything malicious. I'm not going to withhold information. I'm not going to want, you know, my best interest here and put your best interest to the side. Like there's so many tangible outworkings of that.
Yes, for sure. And you know, this recent experience, is really, I think, I mean, this is much more your department than mine, but been a choice between money and God. As a physician, I know myself over the last year, there were lots of options where I could work less than I ever had. I could work from home and just do Zoom meetings, something that we considered completely unethical in the past. The idea that I would treat patients without seeing them, without touching them, without, you know, having real contact is to me absurd, you know? And yet there's so much opportunity to draw from the taxpayers' coffers here, or actually draw from the taxpayers' extended debt that's being built by going along with unethical and illegal activities.
Right? Well, and this leads to the second question on the same issue is, you know, I wake up every morning and I hear news from Australia and I hear news from India and I hear news from the UK and this idea of this localized responsibility, the oath is to your patient. It would seem that that would really disregard a globalist ability. You know, Mike, you need to put a mask on today because there's people sick in India. That does not seem to be a service to me as an individual. That seems to serve a narrative. But certainly if I say, well, I get anxious putting one on. I don't like putting one on. I don't think it's healthy. You would, if your oath is to me, then the response would be, yep, it's your choice about that type of situation. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, imagine something that really is dangerous. Again, COVID, if you look at studies out of Singapore and other studies looking at T-cell immunity. So people that had SARS 17 years ago are immune to COVID. Lots of people have had COVID. A lot of them didn't even know it because for 80% or so of people, it's a mild or asymptomatic illness. So the risk of COVID is quite low. In fact, if you look at the studies from Pfizer and Moderna, the University of Waterloo recently published a very good analysis where they say, well, they've kind of misrepresented it because they say, how much does these injections, they like to call them vaccines, but these injections, how much do they reduce your risk? And they quote some significantly high number, but that's what's called relative risk reduction. When you look at absolute risk reduction, they reduce your risk by 0.7% and 1.1% because your risk of getting COVID, and even more so your risk of getting very sick from COVID, and even more so one's risk of dying from COVID is extremely small. But let's compare it just for fun to something the risk of which is very high. If you smoke a half a pack of cigarettes a day, if someone smokes a half pack of cigarettes a day, they're going to suffer. whether they get cancer, heart disease, COPD, or any other variety of illnesses associated, it's almost surely going to happen. Almost nobody can smoke a half a pack of cigarettes a day and not suffer the ill effects. However, if a patient came to me, and other thing is patients are supposed to be able to choose their doctors because not all doctors are the same. This is it's a science and an art. But if someone came to their doctor and said, listen, doctor, smoking a half a pack of cigarettes a day brings me so much joy. I don't want to quit. And the doctor says, well, you know, it's probably going to give you cancer and lung disease and heart attacks and stroke and impotence and all these other things. But the guy says, well, you know, living long isn't really my main quest in life. I just like kind of just enjoying the day and I really love smoking cigarettes. Well, as much as that wouldn't be probably your choice or my choice, it's reasonable to say, well, if that's your choice with your life, then so be it. And I will, I want to check you every 6 months rather than every year. And I want to do extra x-ray screening on your chest probably every 2 years and do other things to deal with the choice that you're making. So it's bizarre that we have free choices to eat bacon, to smoke cigarettes, to race dirt bikes, to skydive. But they're trying to, and doing a very good job of taking away our choices with regards to a very suspicious cold. It doesn't make sense.
I just want you to keep talking. Like, that's helpful. Randy Hillier is a good friend of mine. Randy's a smoker. We always make the joke about him going out and getting some really good fresh air, but like, literally, you know, you'll see people on the side of the street and they'll pull their mask down and smoke and then put their mask back up and smoke and then I'll walk around without a mask on and people, you know, running away from you like the plague. Like, yeah, I don't understand other than a coercive reason why these freedoms are being taken away. And it's so helpful for you to just explain how ridiculous these freedoms being taken away really are when it comes down to evaluating health. You've actually mentioned a little bit of this, but the declaration talks about the denial of the scientific method. And you were just kind of talking a little bit about that. Would you like to elaborate on that at all, or my rambling?
I enjoy it. And it's really a pleasure to actually meet you. I've followed some of your work. So the scientific method is really, in its essence, you don't accept things. You question everything, right? You know, in the scientific method, you come up with a theory and then you try to disprove it. You try to prove yourself wrong. That's at the fundamental of the scientific method. And if you look at the essence of that, that means that there is robust discussion. I mean, when did we stop in our educational system? And I think about 10 years ago, but even more so lately, when did we stop encouraging people having a different opinion? 20 years ago or 30 years ago when I was in school, that was encouraged. Like, yeah, have a different opinion. Let's not just be all a bunch of parrots saying the same thing. Right. And, you know, it brings to mind a conversation I had with a colleague about a year ago, a guy I really like. Like, again, I empathize. I mean, maybe I empathize with my own, you know, financial and all that type of stuff. But I empathize with people that are actually being slaves in this system.
Yeah.
We were talking about a very, very fundamental element of trauma treatment. And trauma is an area that I'm very interested in. That's the area that I teach the most. Trauma medicine, you know, car accidents, gunshots, all that kind of stuff. We were talking about a very fundamental element of it. And my colleague was putting forward a very different opinion about a very fundamental element of treating hemorrhage, massive blood loss. And I'm aware of the research and actually the validity to what he was saying, as well as the validity to what I was saying. And we had a nice, pleasant, robust discussion about the pros and cons of the standard treatment, which is pretty aggressive fluid management and hemorrhage, and also what's now called permissive hypotension. In other words, the discussion that, hey, you know, maybe that's actually not that good, and here's some reasons why it might not be good, and they're valid. So he and I were having really a good discussion. We had a discussion about COVID, an area which, I mean, the science of what the politicians are doing. I mean, as the chief public health officers of Ontario admitted on video, they don't even read the material. They just say what they're told to say. But on this subject, a good colleague of mine, earlier on, while I was still in working in emergencies, but I was also really questioning what was going on. And I was also saying, hey guys, yeah, I get it. We got to do this, but this is actually bad for health. You realize wearing these masks is actually bad for our health, you know? And what my colleague said to me was, it is not our job to question the mandates of public health. And what the college has just said is, it is not your job to question the mandates of public health. Well, it is your job to question everything if you're a scientist.
Well, and to put that into context, over an issue of a person coming in bleeding out and how to deal with that intense, traumatic situation to the body, you guys are having an open debate.
Yeah.
But a potentially serious cold for a certain age group of our population, that's off the table.
Exactly. And then I'm sure you've seen it, you know, some months back, the title is the Chief Public Health Officer of Ontario and the deputy, who are both, they both have medical degrees. I don't know if they have treated patients in recent history. But the one comes in with the stack of paper and says, I don't know why I carry all these papers around. I never read them. I just say what they tell me to. And he's like, yeah, me too. I mean, and these are the people that I'm not supposed to debate their conclusions? My God.
Yeah. No, you know, it's been refreshing talking with you, Mark, and it's been refreshing hearing your perspective. I think you come with a qualified background, and I know that me even saying that doesn't make any, you know, is neither here nor there, other than I'm a guy in your community within a few hours drive of where you are, seeing a lot of the same things. And what you're describing seems so accurate to the situation. So thank you for speaking out. And I do want to give you honor for doing that, because we need more voices like you. What's next for this declaration? The people who put this declaration, that is at CanadianPhysicians.org, what is the next step? And what are you hoping people will do if they're watching this video and they want to be supportive of you guys? What can they do in order to keep getting this information out?
Well, I can't tell you for sure what CanadianPhysicians.org is. I'm definitely, I mean, as soon as I discovered that and that was brought to my attention, I became a signatory. I am completely behind it, because what they're saying is completely accurate. I would encourage people to go to CanadianPhysicians.org and sign that declaration. I would also very much encourage people to make sure that physicians are aware. I mean, not all physicians are going to climb sort of out the window and deal with the situation like I am, and I get it. But this is a very easy one for physicians, whether they agree, and they shouldn't agree, but whether they agree with every detail of my thoughts on COVID or not, they should agree to stand up for themselves and say, no, I will follow the Hippocratic Oath. I will not violate the Nuremberg Code, right? I will serve my patients. I am not a muzzled puppet of the government and Bill Gates, etc. Right? So I would encourage people to not only go to CanadianPhysicians.org and sign that declaration, but I would really encourage people to make sure that the doctors they know are aware of it, because they should go and sign it. Because, you know, again, we're not asking everybody to step right out in the battlefield here, but at least, you know, at least put 50 cents in the coffers for the fund. So that's one element. The second element, in terms of where I'm going from here, I've just released very good information on ivermectin. I encourage people, again, I don't just throw up lots of stuff on our website. It's a lot of thought goes into it. So if you're looking for answers, please go to our site. If you have 25 cents to deposit, that'd be, or to donate, that'd be great, because I'm no longer drawing from your tax dollars a penny. The other areas that my current, in terms of my current research, right now I'm really diving into trying to figure out more about these injections. So we know what they tell us is in them. We're getting reports from all around the world with more details. And at this point, I'm still swimming in information and trying to separate the wheat from the chaff. It's actually one of the most challenging bits of research that I've been involved in so far. And I'm at a point where I still have more questions than answers. So I'm working on that. I've also become very aware of TakeActionCanada.ca, which is providing people with tools to actually stand up for ourselves. We get a lot of message from contacts on our website saying, well, this is great, but what can I do, or how can I help? Or so TakeActionCanada.ca is making that very easy, because you go there and it's basically, you can go through the index of petitions. They take you step by step through filing complaints and things, because we need the good people and the honest people to start standing up and doing something here.
Yeah.
The other area where I'm very interested in is we need a shift in thinking. If we go back to our, not really a metaphor, we go back to the violations of the Nuremberg Code before it existed. If you were a doctor in Nazi Germany in 1944 and you were dissecting Jewish children in a basement somewhere, you were a hero. But when that war ended, and when, thank God, good triumphed over evil, you were hunted down. And so as much as someone like myself can be, people say, oh man, you're really taking a lot of risk, you're taking a lot of risk saying the truth when you've been told to shut your mouth, or expressing your thoughts. I'm not, my thoughts aren't gospel. But on the other hand, I would really encourage caution to anyone participating in this thing. A, you should be cautious just because you love your fellow mankind, right? It shouldn't be about covering your own tail. But at the same time, and there's a great program, I think you can find it at techactioncanada.ca as well, and it's a retired police officer heading it up, when this is over. In other words, good people are collecting information. They are gathering names. They are recording the incidences. Like the incident someone wrote to me last week, they went to their doctor and said, well, I don't know about this vaccine, it's an experiment. And the doctor said, oh, no, it's not an experiment. We've given these kind of injections for this, that, and the other thing. A total lie. Now, whether that was a total lie because he doesn't do his homework, or whether he was willing to lie to his patient, I mean, that is such a profound violation of the Nuremberg Code that if justice returns to this country, right, there is going to be a price to pay.
You're almost preaching. And when I say preaching, like if you're quoting some Bible verses, don't say sorry for preaching. I'm a preacher. That was the highest compliment I could give you. We've been saying this from day one, that if we Christians, it's interesting. If 500 physicians in Canada stood up tomorrow, this would be over. If 500 churches were open in Canada tomorrow, this would be over. I've been saying the same thing to pastors. You can pretend like going online for worship is actual worship, or you can tell people the truth. And that is, you got to go to church because God tells you to. You can pretend that you're doing the right thing by doing nothing. And you can soothe yourself by saying, no, it's okay. I don't want to be controversial, and I don't want to create division. But at the end of this, when all of the lies are exposed, you will not have a moral authority to stand upon. Because again, okay, Same thing with you and physicians. I don't hear from pastors. I hear from the odd pastor, the odd one that says, I'm still really concerned with COVID. This is the thing that I'm scared of. But the vast majority of them are like, I'm afraid of the fines. I don't want to be controversial. And if you don't stand up now, doctor or pastor, and what Dr. Mark just says, justice returns to this country, there's going to be hell to pay. And I use that metaphor biblically, hell to pay. Judgment on us because we broke a very simple commandment, which is do not live by lies. Do not tell lies. So Dr. Mark, I just want to say thank you for sharing that specific point because it takes guts to say it, but that is the truth. Like you said, people are documenting. They're documenting the lies. The studies are being written. The observations are being taken. And if we can have justice in this country again one day, the violations of our constitutional freedoms are overwhelming, all for doctors and moral pastors and other professionals not standing up and saying, no way, take me to jail, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, for people that, to me, the choice is easy, right? I don't consider myself the most courageous person. I was kind of trying to quietly go about my life before this all started. But if you look at the two options, on the one hand, justice and truth return, we become a free society again, and one would be very glad to at least at some point have repented, I guess would be a term, and turned away from participation in the criminal COVID unethical enterprise. On the other hand, if it, let's say a physician or who else is going along with this and they're saying, well, yeah, but you know, you look around, I mean, Jody Wilson-Raybould, the top lawyer in the country, pointed out that the prime minister and his group were involved in criminal activities and she lost her job. Well, that's sad. I mean, that is really sad that it would appear that law does not apply to everyone in this country. Yeah, I mean, I'm not making a statistical bet here. In other words, I pray and I hope that good prevails. But even if I was somebody who said, well, you know what, the truth is, I mean, they're going to keep getting away with this and Bill Gates is going to be the ruler of the world. You know, he's running the G8 meeting. If I gamble on that side, I say, no, I'm going to go along with this. In fact, I'm going to get a grant from the drug companies. I'm going to give lots of these injections because the truth is I can make as much money giving one injection as I would make, doing my full job and treating a patient in the emergency department. You know, if you're going along with that and you're gambling on the bad guys winning, you are gambling on birthing your grandchildren into hell, essentially, right? So there is no reasonable choice to go along with it, right? Because we all lose, you know, like if you look at, you know, the deeper you get into this, I would encourage people as well, like a lot of people that might be watching this go, wow, what are they talking about? If you go to our website, we have a little section called the COVID deception, where really I just mostly present work of other journalists and stuff to look at this. Like, it's hard to believe, but when you look at it, it becomes very clear how unethical and wrong this whole thing is and what a well-organized scam it is, right?
Well, but I know that I'm going to go look at your website to keep correlating my information and to keep abreast of things because, well-organized is such an apt description. And I try hard not to go down too many huge rabbit trails. But at the end of the day, it's very clear that our current worldviews in this country, secular humanism, are infatuated with worshiping the global agenda because the global agenda sounds strong. And like you said, though, unless justice and truth return, if a globalist agenda has its way in our nation of Canada, I don't want to be here. If I actually have doctors where I'm going to go into their office and they're not going to treat me, they're just going to look at a list of what they've been told by a suit 15,000 kilometers away. I don't need that type of healthcare. We actually have to return to the moral rule of law for all of us, including doctors and nurses and pastors and professionals and so forth.
And you know, Michael, I think as well, a lot of people are waiting for the propagandists, the state propagandists, to tell us the truth that you and I are sharing. They're never going to. And so if people wait for CBC to tell them the truth, they're never going to be allowed to act on the truth. People need to use their discretion and their logic. You need to analyze things, you need to do some homework. People spend 2 hours watching a movie about a dog that plays basketball. How about spending 2 hours researching what's going on in the world around them?
Right? So let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about that for a minute, Dr. Mark. So I love that advice. So thank you.
Pleasure.
But let's talk about it for a second. So is it an offense to you as a doctor if I don't watch the movie for 2 hours about the dog playing basketball? But if I'm about to go into a visit with you, and instead of the night before me watching the basketball movie, I sit and I read about all of my symptoms online, is that an insult to your profession? And am I being presumptuous, or can I actually understand some of this information?
For sure you can. I mean, you know, there's an arrogance that goes along with a little intelligence sometimes, right? So, you know, somebody says, oh, like I have an IQ of 125 and you have an IQ of 115. So I'm, you know, like when you put your heads together, our collective IQ is massive, right? And not one of us could make one protein, never mind one cell, you know, never mind even a piece of dirt in space, right? And so for any of us to get on a high authoritative position and say that I know the absolute truth about the human body is insane. And the at this point, there's more disinformation from the supposed official sources than is imaginable. Like I got to a point where I used to monitor the news just to see what they're telling people.
Oh yeah.
Years ago, I used to listen to the news to know what was going on. But after a few years of really studying global events, I went, wait a minute, these guys are contradicting themselves. This can't be true about anything. Then I started to research. Then I would still watch it just to know. But, you know, I get nauseous watching CBC, right? Like just the promoting of this agenda, right? And, you know, when you look at this UN agenda, again, people need to do a little research. People should research Bill Gates, because clearly, I mean, as much as I'm being told that I cannot speak about medicine, Bill Gates can sit on TV and teach the whole world medicine and mandate medicine and finance medicine. But people need to look at this character. First of all, this guy in the software industry got rich by stealing other people's code, essentially, and patenting it. Everyone was just freely sharing software. You know, microcomputing was a new thing. So it was a hobby. People were writing code and sharing with each other. He came in and basically patented it and said, well, you can't use it anymore. I own it, right? It would appear now he's trying to patent somebody else's code. I would propose that genetic code doesn't belong to any of us humans on this world. But if you know, he did a big public relations thing to recreate himself as this guy who was going to vaccinate everybody because he wanted to save the world. You don't even need to listen to me. Listen to him. Go back to the TED Talks he was giving before he became the vaccine man. And he was the guy saying, the problem in the world is too much carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide equals the amount of carbon dioxide per person multiplied by the number of people. So clearly we need to get rid of people. I don't know if he slips or if he just thinks we're stupid, but in interviews, he says things like, well, by vaccinating the people, we're going to solve the population problems. Like, wait a minute. Like, if you vaccinate people and prevent disease and encourage health, that doesn't reduce the population, right? So somehow this guy's become the chief health officer of the world. It's,
you know what, like all of that is terrifying. And I've done that research as well. And the Rocco Galati case early on helped me at least understand the potential for all of that coming to fruition. And all of that backing and all of that, you know, follow the money and just the financial possibilities. I want to return you to the question, though, more narrowly, though. For research, I find that some doctors respond when I come in and I know a great amount about the thing that I think I'm struggling with. And it's like, yeah, good for you. Sure. That's what I figured, you know. And then other doctors would find that insulting that I, a common man, would jump online and read medical journals about something I was concerned about. So I have a daughter who is a mild form of spina bifida. Like, we adopted her from China. The second we found out what she had, my wife and I, like, I don't want to say a degree, but like, there's a wealth of information that we went and took in so we would understand what we were dealing with. I think I can just understand that stuff. Just like I can understand other books, and I'm a pastor and I read theology, but I can read about motorbikes and I can read about, like, that's why we read. So, So when you're saying research, I want a doctor to tell me again to research about health, particularly.
Research and like, you obviously utilize it. A lot of people have lost their attention span. And one of the big tricks of this globalist cabal, if you like, is short attention span, and they work on the virtue side of it, but it's false information. So for instance, they'll say, well, if you love people, then you'll do this. And people are like, oh, I love people, so I'll do it. But they didn't analyze the thing they're talking about doing and how that thing relates to reality, and how often these people lead us in a complete opposite direction of where they think we're going in terms of the impact. So they think we're doing something for love, but it serves hate. So people definitely need to do the research. And I would support that 100%, Michael.
No, I appreciate that. And you made that point earlier, and it was just really gratifying, because I've been told by so many people, I know my wife has been told by so many people, how is a dumb pastor and his stay-at-home wife gonna figure anything out when we have the establishment giving us the answer? And it just didn't ring true for me as far as any other area in life. I can read, and I should. So I really appreciate you as a doctor giving that advice to those of us who are still trying to figure this thing out. So look, I've taken up a ton of your time. It's been absolutely fantastic. Likewise. And we'll have to talk again soon.
Please do. Yeah. Please stay in touch. And I look forward to it. And I hope the resources we have up at the site can be useful.
So give us your website again, just really quick.
Just drtrozzi.com, drtrozzi.com.
Okay. And for those of you who want to also support the CanadianPhysicians.org declaration, you can just go and click on support the declaration right now and share that around. And I am just really have enjoyed my time with you, Dr. Mark, and I'm so thankful for you being here. Everybody, just keep listening, keep researching. We need to get through this with moral integrity. And we need to continue to push for a revelation of truth. So we just want to support those people who are standing up and speaking out. Dr. Mark, thank you for being here. Godspeed to you in your work. And everybody, as you know, our videos are sometimes censored on YouTube. So you can go see our videos at Rumble. This will also be on our podcast. You can download our podcast from Apple, Podbean, Spotify, all of those other places that deliver our audio content. Please follow us at libertycoalitioncanada.com. And we just want to support these initiatives for liberty. Thanks, Dr. Mark. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to this Liberty Coalition Canada interview, working together for liberty and justice in Canada. Please subscribe to our podcast and YouTube channel, as well as visit our website at www.libertycoalitioncanada.com